Hello, we are here with the most Jewish episode of Waldman's Words in quite some time. We've got Mr. Jake Posner. I'm not sure if it's short for Jacob. It might be. Oh, it's not. He's shaking his head. Normally, people aren't in the room when I'm doing the intro, so I'm under a little bit of pressure, as my mother would say. My name is Scott Waldman. We're on Waldman's Words, representing the 516 and the State of Israel. So Jake Posner does not live in L.A., and he's here right now, and I'm grateful. He manages this band, Arizona, who just booked a very small-time direct support tour with Panic at the Disco. And I'm just letting you know that on the last show, I said that my wife likes state champs, but my wife and my sister, people who do not normally coalesce with me with music tastes, they really like Panic at the Disco, and my wife likes Arizona. So just so you know, this is a big deal for the Waldman family that Jake Posner's here. We're going to learn about his career. We're going to learn about Long Island, even though I don't need to learn any more about Long Island. In fact, I don't want to, but I'm doing it just for Jew guys. So the next few weeks, he's smiling. This means I'm doing okay. This is awesome. Oh, he laughed. Wow, we heard something. Oh, my God.
You told me to keep quiet.
Yeah, I did. Thanks a lot, dude. One rule. All right, so the next few weeks, we've got a whole bunch of random people. Today has been the manager day because we had two interviews today. Well, we have two interviews today, and we had one, and we're having one now. But we had Nick Holman, who manages Turnover and State Champs. He was just on, and that episode aired last week. But today is another manager show with another manager interviewing him. But the following week, we've got Trenton Warsam, who is actually a blogger and a journalist, not a joinalist. He's going to be on the show. We've got Katie Stein, who works in graphic design, on the following week. So we're really doing a lot of real behind the scenes, and that's what keeps the wheels rolling, especially now that Arizona's probably on a tour bus. So, like, the wheels are rolling. We've got Carly Marie, who is a photographer who keeps your eyes rolling, but not rolling in like a bad way, like, ooh, those are great pictures. And then the following week, on Waldman's Words, I'm stammering because I'm scrolling, we've got David Bakula on the show, and he works for Nielsen. So I'm really excited to learn about Nielsen because I don't know enough about that world. So every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, where we are right now and where Jake is right now, 8 o'clock Eastern time, where the country of Long Island is every single day, Tuesday. And also, bright and early Sunday mornings, 5 a.m. Pacific time. I do not wake up then, though I am getting older, so I probably will. And 8 a.m. Eastern time, the show reruns. You could find on iTunes, you could find on Adobe.com, and you can find yourself here right now. Enjoy these commercials, enjoy these ads, enjoy Waldman's Words with Jake Posner. Hello, we are here. I guess I have my best radio voice right now. Hello, we are here with Jake Posner of Bushwick.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you doing this. Shout out to James Davidson, who was on the show a few weeks ago, for introing us. This is great.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked to be here. This is cool. I've never really been in a radio type interview setup, Adobe, any of that stuff. So this is really new and this is really cool. I'm happy to be here.
I'm popping your radio cherry.
You are, and I'm stoked. I'm stoked to do it with you.
I'm so stoked to do it with you. Kelly.
Now it got
Kelly,
weird.
Kelly, well, it's been weird off camera for quite some time, but Kelly, either listen or don't listen to the show. Anyway, Jake Posner, as I said, this is sponsored by the State of Israel, where we will talk about Dayenu a few times on the show. But talk to me. So you are also from Long Island, a place where quite a few bands have come from.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, too, because I think as far as industry goes, a lot of managers, a lot of people on the industry side, for some reason, have come from Long Island too. I think it's just
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah, and I think it's a coincidence, and I think it's also circumstantial. And even in Jewish families, it just tends to be entertainment is kind of a route that's not as, you know, openly discouraged, I guess, and it's almost encouraged to follow what you're passionate about. And for me,
I did not have that.
For me, at least,
you're
least,
lucky.
I'm lucky. I really am. I have an amazing supportive family.
They want you to be a doctor or a lawyer?
No, and I think part of that, I mean, I guess to dive into the initial story of me. My parents, I have, you know, the most amazing, loving, supporting parents. You know, we were always very, very close. We've always been close. We still are. And my dad has always owned a business. He's owned a family business, and it's in the findings industry, which is kind of like supplying components to jewelry. It's not the fancy, it's not the rings, it's not the diamonds. It's kind of like the individual pieces and parts. And
like the metal,
like the metal, okay. Like clasps and things like that. And, you know, as much as that was something that he's done for a long time, he was never very passionate about it. And, you know, one of the biggest lessons and on Long Island, at least where I'm from a town named Roslyn, you know, I was well provided for. I had a great upbringing. You know, I had a car when I got a license. I was lucky enough to have that. And I had, I had a lot of other things that I was very fortunate to have, you know, but one of the things that were hammered in the very beginning was my dad had always made it very well known of saying, you know, do what you love, because waking up every day, being stressed out, not enjoying what you do, it's not worth it. You know, I think he gets his joy out of providing for his kids and making sure that his kids are happy.
Well, he has an actual responsibility, and currently, to my knowledge, you don't have any children.
I do not.
So this is definitely the time to really explore your passions.
Yeah, but I think it really rubbed off, and my mom was just as encouraging on – so I'm the oldest of three brothers, so I like to say sometimes that I've been managing ever since 1994, but –
That's fair. That's when I had my bar mitzvah.
But, like, you know, all of us have kind of really delved into the world of following what we're really passionate about. You know, my little brother, my youngest brother is an actor. My middle brother is a designer. You know, and all of us are really just trying to focus on
the arts field. All of you.
Yeah.
And that's great.
We're all just trying to do what we love because, you know, I think it just coincides with passion. Is if you're going to really put your time into something, if you're really going to try to get good at something, it might as well be something that you care about doing every day, that you're excited to do every day. You know, I wake up every day and I don't feel like I'm working. Like, stress is natural, and I kind of thrive in stress, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm dreading, you know, Sundays I don't dread going into Mondays. I'm excited for what the week has to bring, and it's always different, but it's fun.
You're in the 1%, dude.
It's fun, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm lucky to be here.
Well, that's actually why I have this show, is to, for some kid in Duluth,
yeah,
who wants to break out into artist management, they can learn from your story. So speaking of your story, I know that you started artist management in 1994 with your siblings, but I guess what was the music that got you really obsessed with just the art of music?
I think it really kind of dates back to when I went to summer camp. I went to Jewish summer camp in Kittner.
Which camp?
It was called Nakamixon. It's still called Nakamixon. I think it's still there. It's in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania.
And I went to Island Lake. I went to Lakota, and I went to Baco.
Okay.
Yeah.
So camp for me was, I guess, not what everyone would chalk it up to be. I didn't really initially make friends. I got there when I was, I think, 11 years old.
And they all had their groups.
Well, they had, yeah, I was kind of late. My best friend at the time went the year before me, and he kind of went ahead. They made friends, and I got there, and I was the new kid. And not only was I the new kid, but I was homesick. I'd never been away from home like that. And so I naturally, a 10, 11-year-old kid, I cried. I was, you know, and it kind of a bad cycle started to continue where I cry, and I was bullied, and I would cry about that, and I was bullied about that, and the counselors didn't really support me, and I was bullied by everyone.
They're kids.
It was tough, though, too, because it was – you know, that actually went on for a series of years where I would kind of just keep going back, mainly because my parents just wanted me to give it another shot. And it was tough because I never wanted to go back. And it was really hard. And it was it built a lot of character in me. And I think it's a big part of who I am, because I was kind of verbally abused and bullied very, very, very seriously for about 8 summers. But the one thing that I clung to, and one of the biggest things that I took away from that experience, was music was kind of my place, that I guess my comfort zone. When I was there, I would listen to, and as far as what I listened to, that was about the time that I got into Linkin Park.
You're reminding me of the Papa Roach video for Last Resort. It's funny that you brought up, because like the kids all listening to music while getting tormented.
But honestly, I think music was one of the first places that I felt safe and that I felt really comfortable and that I felt like I could.
Thank you for sharing that here. We don't often get that honest. And I mean, we get honest, but not about personal trauma. So
I'm an open book. I think honestly,
well, I'm just opening it.
I think speaking about things, you know, and troubles and stuff like that helps you get through it, and I think bottling it up is never helpful.
I've seen that happen too many times,
and you know, I think I think being able to speak to my story has a lot to do with where I came from and what's kind of made Jake Posner. Even I've got a long ways to go.
But it built you.
Yeah, it made me who I am, and I think it's given me the character that I have because, you know, yeah, so like that was my refuge.
What Linkin Park album was it?
It was Hybrid Theory. Then it was Meteora.
Minutes of Midnight. I mean, yeah,
it was. Yeah, I mean, I loved, and I mean, rest in peace to Chester. But you know, I loved Linkin Park.
That was
the
first concert I went to with my wife.
Really,
it was Linkin Park at the Wiltern.
The first concert I ever went to was Avril Lavigne at Nassau Coliseum.
Was that with Gobbins Simple Plan?
I don't even remember
because my sister was at that show.
I went for someone in my high school's bar mitzvah.
That's an incredible bar mitzvah.
And he got like a box seat situation. Like they had an entire suite rented out. It was very Long Island.
Well, for the people listening that don't know much about Long Island, that is where the Islanders play.
Yes.
So
yes. this is an arena that Long Island is a very interesting place, and I think the people that come from it really understand it, and the people that don't are kind of like, what is this
it's
world
a language.
That you come from?
And interesting is a word I use to describe an ugly painting, so I'm glad that you called it that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but yeah, that was one of the artists that I really got into. Limp Bizkit, honestly.
And we were on the new
Chocolate
metal.
Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water was
yeah!
an album that, yeah, that was an album that
My
really...
My Generation.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it was the angst that I kind of gravitated towards. I was angry. I needed a place to kind of just, like, release it. And I think that was one of the first places that I realized that music can resonate with what you're going through. And it can kind of... And other people have been through shit in...
Commonality.
In their own ways. And I think that... There wasn't a point in time to where I was like, I need to go into music because...
But you really connected with it and it helped you. It was therapy.
It was one of the first things that I really connected with when I was just a young kid trying to figure out who I was.
Well, what's crazy is Nick was on the show, the guy you met in the lobby who manages State Champs. And I don't often talk about this, but two guests just met each other. We were talking about how in the Springfield, Massachusetts area, which is kind of an isolated area, a lot of really heavy metalcore bands are popular because that's what speaks to these angry kids growing up in an area where there's not much to do.
Yeah.
And for you being an angsty preteen and teenager, the rap rock stuff really stuck with you.
For
me, it was Green Day and Nirvana and Weezer because I'm 83 years old. But that was the stuff. That was like, I'm pissed and... I mean, should I really be pissed? I'm fucking 13, but my problems are real.
I mean, everyone has – it's all relative. I think that's the thing too, and I'm very much a student of – I'm a very empathetic person. I like to understand people's perspectives no matter how young, old, experienced, inexperienced, and I think that's just a big part of me and my character, and I think it's really interesting to kind of relate to kids that are that young that are going through something because you can't just say they're young. They don't know what they're doing or how they're feeling.
Right. Their feelings are just as legit.
Yeah, of course. And so I think it's really interesting to see how people relate to music or to each other on such a fundamental level, even if you don't really know how to express what you're feeling or you're not mature enough to really be able to articulate it.
Well, on that note,
yeah,
something that, I mean, because you're a little younger than me, and obviously kids in high school are a lot younger than you, we never really had to experience, like, the form of cyberbullying that they have.
No, and it's interesting. I think my generation growing up in the 90s, you know, in the early 2000s, really kind of in my teens, was, you know, I think it's the beginning stage of when, you know, AOL Instant Messenger started becoming a thing and all of that. But
MySpace.
Yeah, but it's that's tough too, because on the bullying front, at least, you know, now people are a little less afraid to say something because they're protected by the screen of their computer.
I'm typing.
Yeah, and there's really no consequence. And that happens even in gaming, online gaming. I played a lot of Xbox Live and I still...
The racist comments and those things are astounding.
It's everything. And I think part of it is, I think the generation now that's doing it, I think hopefully starts to take it with more of a grain of salt. But at the same time, these are real words that people are saying. You know, they can absolutely hurt people, and it's rough, it's tough. I think it's every generation has their own, you know.
But I feel that right now the kids, I would argue, have it a little bit worse, because, like, let's just say you're a seventh grade boy who farts in class. That could be on YouTube the next day.
Yeah, and it can be...
That would ruin your life.
And it's funny to some people, but it's mortifying to others.
Oh my God, the constant everything. Yeah. Anyway, so let's make this happier now. So, happy, like, you know, Linkin Park's music. So, No, it's great stuff. And I'm such a catalog of songs. I mean, Linkin Park was someone's nirvana for a lot of kids, probably you.
Yeah.
So I guess on Long Island, though, were there any bands that were locally that you were into when you were younger? Or were you, like, were you a Billy Joel kid? Were you a...
Not even, honestly. I mean, my mom, I grew up, my mom played a lot of Broadway show stuff. You know, she was very into that world. I went to get, I saw Lion King for like 4 birthdays on Broadway.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome.
I just saw Aladdin out here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I love Broadway. And I think I grew up with that. I grew up with a lot of show tunes. My dad was super into like Phil Collins and Genesis and Pearl Jam and stuff.
Well,
like
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
When you said Phil Collins, Genesis, and Pearl Jam, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that was like music that, and I mean, especially as kids, we grew up driving in our parents' cars and they're leading the playlist because we don't know how to.
And it wasn't even called a playlist.
Yeah. It was just, no, it was, they were playing CDs. I mean, and so. That was, I grew up on that. As far as like music locally to Long Island, I never really, I don't think I was as aware of the local music scene until I really even got to college, to where
to IU, Big Ten.
Yeah, it's Indiana.
I mean, it's no Michigan, but I'll take
it. I mean, we're building the program back up.
No, I've been to Bloomington, the Big Red Liquor Store.
Yeah, it's a big store.
Dude, that store is, it lives up to its name.
I used to live across the street from it.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah. But I think as far as, you know, being hip to the acts and the artists that were growing up around me in their own ways and in their own careers, I think in high school when I started, so I knew I liked music, I think, and it was funny too, because actually going back to Xbox Live was another place that I went to feel comfortable. I played a lot of, like, I'd get out of school and I just game. You know, I played sports after school, but I would go home and my solace, what that was gaming.
Was when you were gaming, though, were you playing people online?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was playing, like, Gears of War. I was playing a lot of online collaborative gaming, whatever it was. But for some reason, I somehow found myself playing with people like DJ Unk and Soulja Boy. Like, it was random.
My eyebrows,
like,
just went
it
up.
It was very random. And, I mean, mind you, and tons of other people. But at some
still.
Point, but I think... And at the time also, like, you know, even like Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park, I was listening to a lot of hip hop stuff. I was really inspired.
Were
by
you
a
into
lot of
the
stuff.
Executioners? Were you into?
I was into 3-6 Mafia. 3-6 Mafia was like, I was obsessed production wise. I mean, there was something really, really cool about it. And that got me excited about rhythm and about production, music production. And, you know, also then playing Xbox with like Soulja Boy when that was starting to be a thing and other people. I think I immediately got very, very excited about the concept of hip hop, and I loved production. I loved music. I didn't know anything else about what I wanted to do. So I was like, cool, everyone is starting to produce their own music nowadays. Some people are taking off. And so what I started to do was I downloaded Fruity Loops. I purchased Logic Pro, and I started playing around.
How old were you?
I was probably 16 or 17. And mind you, just dabbling, not even looking at the manual.
That's how it starts.
Not even figuring out, you know, what plugins do.
I don't think Rick Rubin knew what he was doing right away.
I don't think anyone knows what they're doing right
now. And most people don't even know what they're doing now.
Yeah, it's true. But and so, like, you know, I think I would dabble. I dabbled with production. I ended up getting to IU my freshman year, calling myself some kind of hip-hop producer. And I kind of dressed the part, too. I was very into, you know, streetwear and all that stuff, and I still am. So like freshman year I got there and I started producing for kids on my floor.
Were you taking classes in that, or were you studying more liberal arts
stuff? I did some music production classes.
Oh, cool.
But nothing too in depth. Like, honestly, they were more exploratory. They were in the same, I was getting like a specialized major outside of, so I was a marketing major at the Kelly School of Business, but I was also getting a kind of, I guess, a certificate is what they call it in kind of music industry.
Okay.
And inside of that, I was taking some kind of music production classes. I was taking music history classes.
I didn't know that you even recorded stuff. This is cool.
Yeah. Please don't ever find it.
Well, actually, I just downloaded your whole catalog.
Yeah. So I produced like some records with a kid who actually ended up being my best friend still today. Is a Jewish kid from Wayne, New Jersey. His name is Alex Fox.
Shout out
Alex Fox. And along with my roommate.
You mean at iJew? You really met a few? Or a Jewmish? Like, what are you talking about? You know, Michigan actually has the most Jews of any school in the world because it's such a big school and yeah. it's 20% Jewish.
It's a big East Coast school too. That was honestly huge. That was one of the first schools that I thought about going to, and I don't even know what it was that sparked it. I think there were just a lot of kids from the East Coast that were going there, and before I knew it, I was wearing Michigan hats in middle school and high school.
Damn right.
But I didn't follow the Wolverines. I didn't know anything about the sports. I didn't know anything about really the school. I just for some reason really liked
it. It's one of those brands. It's like I remember that people were wearing Charlotte Hornets gear.
Yeah.
And it's like I can't even name a player on the team, but it's just like one of those things.
Yeah, and something made me want to go there, but their business school was really hard to get into at the time. Which you have to apply to as a junior. I think I was trying to direct application, and I think you have to have a certain GPA. That my GPA was not. I was also not an A student in high school.
Yeah, you turned out all right.
I mean, I wasn't an A student.
Roslyn's a tough school too.
I went to Wheatley.
Oh, you did?
I went to Wheatley High School, which is in Old Westbury, which is like the town over. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was not an A student, but I knew I wanted to go to business school, I think, at that point to study, or at least my guidance counselor, who was a really good guiding point for me.
As they
should be, right? Yeah. She really just said to me, if I'm still figuring out what I want to do, you know, but I'm excited about certain things, and music was one of them, you know, and entertainment. She's like, you know, you should probably get a good foundation in business. You know, that's a good place to start and go to a good business school. And I was like, cool. You know, I really like Michigan and I like Maryland. And
you know, those are two schools I applied to.
I applied to both. And she was like, you know, you should also really consider Indiana. And I was like, where on the map is Indiana? I honestly, you know, it's you really are oblivious to when you're that young.
Yeah,
to
no.
Really, I mean, everything else around
you. Probably didn't go to even Chicago when you were younger. You no. never traveled the Midwest
no,
at all.
No, no.
I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in high school in Ohio.
Yeah.
But that was the only time I was in the Midwest.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, you're not, I think, part of college and part of that whole experience in growing up is exploring yourself and the world. So, like, and so... Going back to, I produced one of the other kids who was actually my roommate. We ended up being really close because my roommate, his name is Jarrell. He's from Indianapolis. You know, he was also saying, I'm a rapper. I want to do this. And so, like, what kind of ended up was I kind of had a little production shop going on out of my dorm room.
Rick Rubin.
Mind you, I'm not half the producer that Rick Rubin is.
Right, but I'm just trying to make you feel good.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think it was cool because, you know, we had that, and there were a lot of creative juices going. There was a lot of excitement and energy about what we were doing, and also at Indiana at the time too, there were a lot of people, you know, that were really kind of paving their own ways. You know, there was Jake Udell, who's another manager who's from IU. There was, you know, Bryce Fox and Daniel Weber, who are producers and a songwriter and artist out here. You know, there's Deuce Devino. There's a lot of people, Brandon Silverstein, like a lot of people that are now still very, very active in the music, in the industry, that were out there and around the same time, at the same time that I was there. And it was cool to see what they were doing. It was cool to see. And even though none of us had really...
Well, it's a good community.
It is, but none of us even had a relationship when I was at school. But I still was like, it was cool to watch what other people were doing. It was inspiring and it was exciting because it made me say like, okay, like anyone, like they're doing this and people are just doing it.
Right.
You know, there's no need, like why not try it? But yeah, so anyway, production, I ended up just really kind of just taking, like assessing myself. And because as we put records out, I would market them on social media. I'd get them out. We get people talking about it, but naturally it's, you know, the songs weren't that good, so they wouldn't go that far.
But you're honing your craft. I mean,
yeah. And I was also, kind of figuring out, I'm like, I like the social media stuff. Like I enjoy marketing this, and yeah, I'm a marketing major and I'm trying to figure out where I fit in the world and what I want to do. But I was like, I don't think production's for me. I think that,
well, that's what I think. And we're going to cut this off in a second, but a lot of what college was for me and a lot of people is figuring out what you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a big, and your eyes lit up. So that's a good segue. So let's take a short break. Enjoy all these wonderful commercials, these wonderful songs. Maybe go to the bathroom if you have to. And we'll be back with Jake Posner. Hello, we are back with Jake Posner on Waldman's Words. And I guess this is a really good way to start, I guess, post-college.
Yeah.
So tell me about your life as soon as you left the Hoosier State.
Yeah.
Or the Crossroads State.
Well, we proudly call ourselves Hoosiers. So
that makes sense.
I'll call it the Hoosier State.
I'll take it.
But Yeah, I mean, as I graduated, I guess fast forwarding, it's in the music industry, it's hard enough to find a job. It's hard enough to find an opportunity. I was lucky enough to have, you know, internships at some record labels in New York City. I was a campus promoter for Sony Music while I was at school. And I got to work for a really cool clothing brand that started in Indiana, then blew up and came out to LA. It's called Dope.
Dope.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. And
word.
And so as I graduated, I wanted to work in music, but there were really no actual tangible opportunities that I could really get into, and not even internships. I mean, it's New York City, and that's where I wanted to work. I wanted to live there, and it was hard. It's all a timing thing, too, and sometimes it's connections. And while I had some connections, I definitely didn't have all of them. And being a marketing major and having worked with some brands and worked in marketing and entertainment in some way, I was like, you know what, maybe the right approach is to now, instead of jumping right into music, maybe I'll try like advertising and stay in the marketing world and hopefully one day make my way back to music. And so I did, and I graduated. I started interning at a publication called Ad Age, which is a competitor of Adweek. I was there for 3 or 4 months. I was just in there. I was in the marketing department.
Give us a timeline, though. What year was this?
This is 2013.
Okay.
So I graduated in 2013. This is later in 2013. I was there for a few months.
Wait, are you 27 or 26?
I'm 26. I turned 27 in October. And I was there, and it was great. It was a great experience. My internship had ended. They weren't able to keep me. They didn't have the cap space and all that, as most internships work. But my bosses were amazing, and they really, really cared about me. They wanted me to succeed, so they kind of started shopping me around to agencies while I was also applying.
That's nice.
It was great. I mean, it was amazing. And they, you know, helped me get to an agency called Digitas, which is also based in New York. It's kind of also everywhere. But I was at Digitas, and I started as a media planner. So I was basically responsible for strategizing and placing digital media on the internet. And that was really fun. It was exciting. I was doing it for People Magazine and Sports Illustrated and Time Inc. as a whole. But I didn't really have much involvement in the creative, and it was a lot of math, and I just didn't feel like there was a fire there. So after a while, I learned a ton. I learned a ton about data. It's definitely has its applications to me today. But then I transferred internally. I was an account executive, so same agency.
You're doing a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to learn, honestly.
No, that's wonderful. I mean, because people don't realize this. I mean, it's 2018, and you're still talking about 2013 you got out of school. Or maybe it was like 2013 and
late
2014.
Late 2013 to 2014.
But that's still a lot. Yeah. I was giving you props, dog.
Thank you. And then I had transferred internally. It was probably 2014 or the beginning of 2015. No, this is 2014, to become an account executive. I was basically the liaison between American Express and our creatives
Well, that's kind of an artist manager. You're the liaison with everyone.
That was something that I later realized now that I am a manager.
Mind blown.
It's crazy, man. The applications of life in general, of what you've done in the past. Like, there's always learnings. There's always something that you can learn, and there's always something you take away from it. And for me, that was a huge thing, was navigating. I mean, music industry politics is absolutely something that exists. And navigating
understatement of the show.
And that's regardless, it's not, whether it's labels or it's agents or it's promoters or it's artists,
everything.
You know, whatever it is. Being able to understand personality types of clients, and me as the liaison of saying, cool, well, this is my personality type. This is how I work well with these people. This is the right way to communicate to these people. And this is how you can get whatever you're trying to get done as efficiently as you can possibly get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was huge. But yeah, so basically that happened. I would say I was at that agency for about 2 to 2.5 years. And I was kind of at a point where it was a lot of stress. It was awesome to work for American Express. They're an incredible brand. They're huge.
They're accepted most places.
They are accepted most places, and they put a lot of work into the advertising that they do. But for me, I was just like, you know, I don't think that what I'm doing at this current position at this current agency right now is what I was meant to do. And so I kind of continued doing soul searching. I took some other interviews. I was interviewing at Vice, which this now at this point is about 3 years ago. This is still 2015. And I was going, that was going well. I was really excited. That was a super up and coming brand at the time. That fell through. And I kind of found myself, it was a weekend, And I was like, you know what? I'm stressed out. I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to do with my life. I'm interviewing. Nothing's really working out. I just need to give myself a weekend to decompress and do nothing. And nothing for me at that point meant just go on Reddit and browse Reddit for like 5 hours a day.
That's nothing for nonstop. A lot of people.
Yeah, and I was so happy to do it. And so I was, at that point, I was on my, like, I was living in the financial district in New York City, literally laying on my bed, 3 hours in, just relaxing on the video subreddit. I don't know if you use Reddit, but I was just scrolling.
Trust me, all my clients do.
Yeah, and so I was just browsing for hours, just aimlessly, just anything to keep my mind
memes
going.
Stupid shit.
Memes, videos, whatever. And I scrolled upon this post that was pretty down in the depths. It hadn't been kind of upvoted too much. It was just pretty new. And the caption was like, hey, guys, you know, this is my first time singing on camera. We shot, edited, directed this video ourselves, and we covered a Taylor Swift song. I hope you like it. And I was like, oh, interesting, cool. I love music.
Are there a lot of people who plug their art on Reddit like that? Because I'm not very familiar with it.
Sometimes they do. It's hard. I mean, lately I think Reddit has become...
It's like a vicious community, kind of.
It's really interesting. Reddit is a very active community.
Right.
And there's a lot of voices, and it's kind of the same thing before of what we were saying of digitally. It's like if you're hiding behind a screen, you could say whatever you want without worrying about consequence. And in Reddit, it's just like a big forum where the funniest stuff gets upvoted, or sometimes people get, you know, get called out, and then everyone bands behind it, and there's a lot of witch hunting sometimes, which Reddit kind of tries to fight. But yeah, so basically I watched the video. It ended up being Arizona. So it was the very first video that Arizona...
Did they have the spacing at the time?
They did. They did. They had the logo and everything. The video is still there, still on YouTube. And so I watched it, and also a little background that I didn't touch upon when I was at school. After I did production...
We only have so much time. I get it.
I know.
We could do... an interview the size of the state Arizona.
But after I did production, I wrote for music blogs for about 3 years. And I did that just for... I was
freelance?
Yeah, I didn't do it for... I wasn't paid. I did it because I loved it. And so I got to see a lot of how artists grew on the internet in that scene. So anyway, back to that. And so I was always thinking about music and how people were growing and discovering artists. Never as a manager, just as a fan.
But you unintentionally found this band on Reddit.
I found this band, and it was very clear just by the messaging itself that they were just kind of getting started. And I watched this video, and production-wise, I mean, as far as the actual video quality, as what they were doing, the professional quality of the video, it was like, this was really well shot. This is really well done. And I'm like, cool. This is cool. But sonically, the music, it was dope. You said that word earlier. Yeah, I love that word. I'm glad I worked for them because I love that word. And
sick.
And it was really cool. And so I was blown away. And at that point, you know, just there was like my stomach kind of dropped saying like, what did I just find? But I needed more answers. And I remember responding to the thread saying, you know, do you guys have more music? Is there more music somewhere? You know, as a very interested person now, and also now as a potential fan, I was like, you know, and they sent me a link back, and they're like, yeah, we have a SoundCloud here. And so I clicked the SoundCloud link. I went, and they had two songs still in the original form that we released them, our song Let Me Touch Your Fire and our song called I Was Wrong, and then three covers.
Was one of them the Taylor Swift one?
One of them was Bad Blood. And I listened through everything, and at that point I was just like, holy shit, like, who are these guys? This is like my new favorite band. What did I find? And I'm looking, and the play counts are less than 1,000.
Yep.
And they have no Facebook, they have no Instagram, they have no Twitter, they don't have an email to reach them, they have 70 followers. Like, there was a point in time that I was like, holy, like, you know, I don't want to keep swearing.
No.
I was like, oh my God.
It's okay, you shithead.
I was like, oh my God. It's like, you know.
No one knows about this group, and you discovered
something.
What did
I find? And it was like, I can either pretend that I never saw this and just go separate ways and let the world deal with that as it may, and maybe this band will find someone and they'll find their path and it'll work out. Or maybe I can take it upon myself and do it. You know, it's like, I've wrote for blogs. I've seen how at least artists can break on the internet or start to build a foundation. You know, I'm a marketing kid.
Another artist broke with a Taylor Swift song, I Prevail.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift's a gateway drug.
Yeah, I mean, and she's very broad-reaching, and the music resonates with a lot of people, and the guys like the song, and so it was perfect. But, you know, it was – I think it was something that, for me, just – I thought that I could help these guys start. And I thought that, you know, we can come up with, let's start with a plan. Let's figure out what that plan is. And let's, at the very least, let's connect each other.
How did you start talking, though, after the Reddit thread? Did you guys exchange emails?
So there was no real way to reach them except for SoundCloud.
But there's a message
section. There is a message section in SoundCloud.
I don't know why I'm pointing.
It's up there. It's up there. It's towards the top right of the screen. And it's, you know, a lot of people don't use it. It's a random inbox that comes with the streaming platform. It's like having it. It's like if your Spotify had an inbox where you don't check it that actively, but that is a way to reach you.
And it was the way.
It was the only way. Right. And for me, I was like, that's going to be the shot. Then let me tell them my story, who I am, and let's put it out there. And I said, hey, I'm Jake. This is my background. I live in New York City. I don't know where you guys are. Maybe you're in Arizona. I'm not really sure. And they responded, and you know, it was Dave from the band. So the band is three guys, Zach, Nate, and David. And David responded to me, and he was like, hey, he's like, you know, it's so cool that you're reaching out. We really appreciate it. He's like, you know, no one's really reached out to us like this. We are pretty tapped out on management and marketing, you know, but we're in New Jersey. He's like, I have a background in advertising. I think we could find some really cool synergies there.
What do you mean tapped out? They had another manager?
No. Like they just weren't putting their time and effort into marketing and management.
Okay.
They were trying to focus on what are we?
Right.
And so, you know, I was like, cool, you're in New Jersey. Let's meet up. Like maybe the High Line in Chelsea. That's where we ended up meeting up. And we spent a few hours together when we did. We got to know each other. You know, I gave them the whole spiel of who I am, where I'm from.
And you let them know that you had never managed an artist
before. But it was funny because I remember this very, very vividly. I made a big list. I had an Android phone and I had the notepad in the middle of my screen. And I made a really long list of all the ideas and things that I thought would help get us off the ground that were actionable. It was like, cool. Well, like, talk about the music plan, talk about what you guys have ready. We'll talk about a release strategy, but it's like, you know, I wrote for blogs. I'm going to touch base with, you know, there's all these writers that I can start reaching out to. There are friends that I have that work for blogs.
Utilizing your network.
Utilizing my network, utilizing even my parents' friends. It was rough ideas at that point of like, what can I do? Here are all the ideas. And, you know, and I think they were really impressed to see that I had at least really tried to lay out everything that I could possibly think of. And they were like, this kid, not only does he love the music, but he's in this. He really wants this. And I said to them before we left, I said, you know, clearly you see that I want to do this. And if I'm in, if you're in, if you want to do this, let's do it together. And honestly, the whole thing too was like, Arizona started, they, you know, they were writers and producers for a very long time, you know, when they were in school and even after they got out of school, and not any kind of major cuts or anything that had happened. But I think they had just kind of gotten burnt out on the whole.
Well, that's probably what you meant on the tapped out. Like they were just concentrating on writing good songs.
I think honestly at that point, their focus, what they cared about most, was just making music that was true to them. And I don't think that they didn't necessarily care about everything else at that point. At that point, they just wanted to put out music that they liked and that they thought was dope, and maybe something would happen to it. And so,
and at that point, not much was happening.
No, and I mean, well, I mean, they mind you, when I found them, they really had only just really started to start. But as writers and producers, they got kind of burnt out. They just wanted to write what they wanted to do. If they watched you know, a crazy movie and they wanted to make a song that reminded them of that, or that has that same vibe, then they did it. You know, it didn't really matter. So, you know, I think it was funny because with that in mind too, they didn't really think that anyone was going to take them seriously in the beginning. You know, they just were making music and they were like, yeah, like it was like, you know, I'm like, I think you guys, it's like one day I see this, I see you guys playing stadiums. I see you guys playing arenas. Like I want this to be huge, and I think it has the potential. And it's funny because they look at you like you're crazy, and it's like, okay, like sure, but it's like, you know, it's like I want, but it's like, let's do it, just let's try it, there's nothing to lose. And so they were like, okay. And so basically, I mean, hit the ground running with just trying to get in touch with every single tastemaker, blog writer, people that wrote, you know, that wrote about songs that were maybe in the same world that I was like, cool, maybe you'll like this. It was building on relationships I had existing and brand new. I sent out tons of emails every single day with, you know, only like a 5% return rate because you're trying just to reach
that.
Yeah. And my whole thing was reach everyone that has a voice, because it's like, it's kind of like you're trying to sell something, and it's like, I have the product. You know, I felt so strongly about it. I still do. It's like, these guys make incredible music. And all it does is, all that needs to happen is it's just got to start reaching people. And from there, that's, you know, it's the same thing that you see on the internet nowadays, the same thing you saw on college blogs, and college blogs were really a thing, was the contagious music caught on. And I was like, this is contagious. I just have to help it find people, you know, and I'm not this bona fide manager at this point that has all the connections. I'm not this person that can just click a button and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a very simple, it was very kind of scrappy from the ground up. And that's kind of how we all are. And it's cool. And I think it definitely caters to us learning so much about everything. I've learned so much about management just from having started through this. And
well, now they earn a living doing this.
Yeah, and it's,
and they're opening for Panic. And, yeah, I mean, and they're in LA recording. You said, right?
Yeah, yeah. We're in the process of writing our second album. I mean, we're going on we're doing 25 dates with Panic at the Disco in arenas.
Amazing.
Madison Square Garden and Staples Center sold out last week. Like it's incredible. Yeah, I mean it's really so exciting. It's exciting. We're learning something new every day. This industry changes every few months, honestly. What's working, what's not. I think everyone is perpetually a student of this. I know I have so much more to learn. I'm so excited to learn more. I'm excited to grow more. You know, I think all of us are. And it's, but at the same time,
if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you think you're the smartest person.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. Yeah,
I for sure. And I think that, you know, it's interesting, man. It's the industry gets younger and younger just because that's what happens.
You've only been doing this for a little bit.
I've only been doing this as a manager for 3 years. So
that's amazing.
You know, it's cool, man. I think we all learn from each other. I think that's it's like even why I'm so stoked to be here. It's cool to be able to meet each other, to talk to each other, to learn from each other, to tell our stories, because
it's our first time meeting.
Yeah, and everyone's got something to learn from each other, and I really believe that. And I think it's, you know, I think that's just a big part of, I think if anyone ever begins to get complacent, the moment you begin to get complacent is the moment you start to fail.
Life is way too short to settle, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this music industry is always evolving. There's always more players entering. Everyone wants to have their shot and be successful. And I think the least that we can do is try to help each other.
I hope so, man. Yeah. And I guess speaking of helping each other, can you give a shout out? Do you have any other acts, by the way, that you manage?
No, okay, just Arizona.
So I guess what's something new that you're listening to, or not even new, something that's been around a bit that just needs to be heard by more people that you do not work with?
That's a good. A really good homie of Arizona is a kid named Ryan Pulford. He's also from their hometown in New Jersey. And he's just starting his own artist thing and starting to get that off the ground. He's really talented. He's like our little brother, and he's a little bit of like a protege of Arizona, where he's learning a lot. I mean, the guy's learned from their mentor and a really, really close friend of ours. His name is PJ Bianco. And, you know, Ryan looks to us. He's a senior at Gettysburg College right now. So when he comes home, he kind of spends time with us in the studio. He's always trying to learn, you know, and then he applies it to his craft, and that's really cool. Outside of that, I'm super close with the team with Billie Eilish, and I think Billie's amazing. I think Finn, her brother, Phineas is his artist name, and he's incredible. What else am I really, really listening to right now? It's hard. Honestly, that's a challenge for me right now, too, honestly, is I am just as passionate about music as I ever was, but discovering music, I think, has become a bit more challenging to me. And I think it might be because I'm not necessarily putting all the time and effort into finding new music
cultivating what you have.
Well, I think I spend so much time focusing on making sure that we are that Arizona is growing, and, you know, we're putting all of our work into our craft, and that everyone is inspired. And trust me, we're listening to new stuff all the time. And so, you know, and are inspired by so many different things. But I'm trying to actually get back to my roots of when I used to check blogs and just scour blogs for hours a day, and I'd find these remixes of stuff, and I would find these early versions of stuff that I was just so excited about, and I was sharing with everyone. And now it's, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's cool because there's been a dynamic change where Spotify is kind of now, and Apple Music respectively, have taken their roles to be the curators of new music and saying, like,
well,
you know,
it was like putting a song on your MySpace page back in the day. The narrative, like you said, every few months changes.
Yeah.
And who knows what it'll be in 6 months.
I mean, cause you know, it wasn't that long ago that there were people that a lot of the big playlists on Spotify were run by individuals. Mm-hmm. They were not run by Spotify. And since now, that's kind of been taken more into the hands of Spotify, and they've curated and they've done a fantastic job of doing it. Same with Apple, to where you have different moods, you have different types of music that you're excited about. They're leveraging the algorithms to show, you know, this song is up and coming, this is a brand new song. It's whether it's on your Discover Weekly or your
new
release
radar,
New Music Friday. And it's tough because the other side of it, which is very understandable, is you have so much new music coming out every day, so much music that's submitted. I forgot what the stat is on how much new music is uploaded to
DSPs. It's stupid.
Every day. But there's thousands upon thousands of new songs, and it's hard to stay on top of that.
And it's also hard to go through the cracks to, like, people's heads.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, even like a question for you, where are you finding new music that you're excited about?
Ooh, good question. Well, one thing you don't know about, and we're going to cut this off, is the bulk of my income comes from managing producers and songwriters. I do manage some bands, but as you know, it takes a minute for them to make some money.
Yeah.
And there's some more immediate cash flow with managing producers. And I find a lot of bands by scouting for them.
Yeah.
Like, I go to people's band camps. I go to people's SoundClouds. I go to various blogs. But I recently found a band, actually, that I do A&R consulting for a label. I just signed a band.
Cool.
So congrats, I did it that way. What?
Yeah, I said congrats.
I have to, but thank you. But I do a lot of that, and I don't know. I feel like I'm scrolling for new bands now more than I did when I was younger, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But every day
I feel like bands are in a way of the recent last few years have really started to make a very strong comeback as far as new emerging artists.
My fingers are crossed.
I mean, and they've always been around for sure.
Well, that Imagine Dragons band's doing okay.
They're doing great. I mean, 21 Pilots was a huge story in the last few years.
And they're going to have a new album soon.
I'm so excited for that. I mean,
I saw them at the Troubadour, dude.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I saw them at the Troubadour. Their very first show in LA. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it was when I think Guns for Hands had like just come out. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is kind of like a mix between Eminem and fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
the energy was there. I watched, and not to tangent on this too long, but I watched their show. They did Studio at Webster Hall.
Yep.
And
that was I think you posted that on your.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. We've
been Facebook friends for a little
while. Yeah. I mean, that was crazy. I mean, Tyler and Josh, that same show is just grown. You know, you see that exact same energy. The magic has been there since the very beginning, but it's cool. I mean, it's just cool, and it's awesome to see acts that are so genuine and original and doing their own thing come up and rise as hard as they do.
Well, apparently every single track on Blurry Face went platinum. Yeah. Every single one of them. So we're gonna stop fanboying over those two right now, and I'm gonna fanboy over you right now. Thank you for doing this.
Thank
show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
No, this is rad. Every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock your time, the show is on Sunday mornings, bright and early, 5 o'clock a.m. Holy shit. 8 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. You can go on Idobe.com. You can have every episode at your disposal, and you can also subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. It's free. I do want your money, but I'm not asking for it. So thank you guys so much for listening, and L'chaim.
L'chaim.